Free radicals. I sometimes think this sounds like a slogan for a political protest. Free radicals now. Radicals deserve their release. There is a point here, in fact, because there are two words which sound the same, but which have different meanings. The way I always remember the difference is radical is chemical and political, whereas radical is biological. It means a little root. So, chemically speaking, what is a free radical? A free radical is an atom or group of atoms which usually has only a fleeting existence. Individual atoms are very reactive, of course, and quickly attack other atoms or molecules. If a free radical is a group of atoms, there are not enough of them to make a stable molecule, so they too are very reactive. Incidentally, if you're a teacher or a more advanced student listening to this, yes, I am aware that there are reasonably stable free radicals. I'll mention some of them later on. But they are a rarity, wouldn't you agree? Let's keep it simple for the moment. Now, you must have noticed that I've slipped in the word free before the word radical. Some chemists refer to parts of stable molecules as radicals. For example, the formula of ethanol is C2H5OH. The C2H5 bit of this formula can be referred to as the ethyl radical. But it isn't a free radical because it's covalently bonded to the oxygen atom. If we could break this covalent bond, the ethyl radical would become a free radical, but clearly wouldn't be able to survive for long in this free state. It would be very reactive. Now, there are in fact two ways in which a covalent bond may break. The difference depends upon what happens to the pair of electrons which make the bond. One way is for the pair of electrons to stay together and go with one of the two fragments. This sort of breaking process is called heterolytic fission, and it produces ions, not free radicals. An example of this is the breaking of the bond in an isomer of bromobutane to give the ions C4H9+ and Br-. You'll come across this when you study halogenoalkanes with the aid of kinetics later in the course. However, ions are not free radicals. Ions have charges. Free radicals don't. Free radicals are formed when a covalent bond breaks in such a way that one electron goes with each of the fragments. It's possible to split a chlorine molecule, for example. We could show the covalent bond in a chlorine molecule as two dots, each dot representing an electron. Cl, two dots, Cl. On paper, you put one dot above the other. When this bond splits, the two fragments are Cl dot and Cl dot, where each dot represents an electron which was previously part of the covalent bond. This kind of bond breaking is called homolytic fission. You may say that Cl dot is simply a chlorine atom, and this is quite correct. It is a chlorine atom, but it's a rather special one, because it takes energy to split a covalent bond. So the radical Cl dot is a chlorine atom with extra energy. It's found from practical experience that a good way of providing the necessary energy to split a chlorine molecule into two free radicals is to use ultraviolet radiation, which has just the right amount of energy to do the job. This homolytic fission of chlorine is the first step in the mechanism of the reaction between methane and chlorine, which is described in Topic 8. I promised to mention some fairly stable free radicals. The best known are two of the oxides of nitrogen. Nitrogen monoxide, NO, is a free radical. There is a double covalent bond between the nitrogen and the oxygen atoms, but this leaves the nitrogen atom with an unpaired electron. It's possible to make and collect samples of nitrogen monoxide, which is quite stable, until it meets oxygen. When it does, there's a very fast reaction, producing the brown gas nitrogen dioxide, NO2. The surprising thing is that NO2 is itself a free radical. Can you figure out why?